It's 5:06, and you're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up later in the show, a look at the bill before the U.S. Senate that targets discrimination against gay, lesbian, and transgender employees.
First, are kids spending too much time in front of screens? A new report from the American Academy of Pediatrics offers guidelines for kids, parents, and doctors, calling in part for limits on screen time.
And we want to hear from you about this. Do you think kids and teens spend too much time on tablets, phones, TV, and other technology? How has your family dealt with the issue? Strict limits, anything goes, or somewhere in between? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Dr. Victor Strasburger is with us now. He's a pediatrician, fellow of the American Academy of Pediatrics, and he's co-author of the new report we're talking about. It's called Managing Media, We Need a Plan. Dr. Strasburger, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So your report, the subtitle, We Need a Plan, you say, when it comes to kids and technology, but do you think most families have a plan in place?
Not only do most families not have a plan, most parents aren't, I think, aware of how much media their kids are using or what media their kids are using, what they're seeing online or on TV or in movies.
What as a parent should we be worried about when we kind of go too far with too much screen time?
There are any number of health effects. Obviously, media can be quite pro-social and good, Sesame Street being the classic example for young children. But too much of anything is not a great idea, and kids are spending between 7 and 11 hours a day with a variety of different media. That exposes them to a lot of media violence, a lot of sex and sexuality, a lot of drug advertising, and makes them more likely to be obese.
So, yeah, let's follow up on the health consequences there, because it seems like 7 to 11 hours is a lot, and that seems like there could be more productive things to do with their time. But over the long run, what kind of health problems are pediatricians worried about?
The one that I think is easiest to understand is obesity. There are studies that are ongoing as long as 37 years in duration showing that the time you spend in front of a TV set before you're age 5 or 6 or 7 is directly responsible for obesity when you're a teenager or an adult. And that controls for every other known factor of obesity.
You know, it's interesting because I've been involved in conversations and I've heard parents talking about how it seems like, you know, we're in the middle of a great experiment right now that nobody really has the information because so much of this technology is new. You've got things like iPhones and tablets that are new, DS, more sophisticated video games. Those have been around for a while, but there's never been this much technology, so many options all at once. So how do we know, you know, what the right thing is to do?
We have a lot of research. Sorry, my dogs are barking here.
They're welcome in the conversation, too.
I need to set them down in front of an iPad. cartoon. We have a lot of research. People are all kind of a Twitter about new technology, but in fact, there are thousands of studies on old technology, and kids spend more time, and will always spend more time with television than they will with any other technology because television is entertaining and it tells a story. What's different is the kids are accessing television on their iPads or their cell phones.
Is there a difference or a sense that there's a difference between passively observing a TV show, whatever kind of screen we're watching it on, and doing something like a computer game where you're interacting with it? Or is it pretty much in the same ballpark?
No, it's different. And you can take that question a little bit farther and say, is it different playing an educational video game or a first-person shooter video game? And the answer is obviously yes. There are some incredibly violent video games out there. California tried to restrict the sale of violent video games to kids. They didn't write a very good law, and the Supreme Court overturned it 7-2. But video games are like any other media. There are some extraordinarily good pro-social video games, and there are some horrible video games for kids.
So what parents listening, I'm sure, want to know is, what is the right amount? What did you find?
The right amount is less than 2 hours a day of entertainment screen time. That means movies, TV shows and video games. We're not talking about time spent texting. Who knows? You know, we know that a third of teenagers send an average of 100 texts per day, but we're not, there's no good data on how much texting is too much texting, except when your thumbs fall off. We're talking about entertainment screen time, less than 2 hours a day. Doesn't include computer time for homework. Doesn't include cell phone use or texting. Just simple screen time.
Now, you covered a wide age range, I think, in your recommendations. Starting at the earlier end, how young is too young for any kind of screen time?
Two.
Age
two. There are about a dozen studies now that babies exposed to screens may be more likely to have language delays. And I can tell you, I can walk into an exam room with a 6, 8, 9 month year old baby to do a well child check, and I can tell you which babies are watching TV and which babies are being read to.
Why is that? Is that because they're not interacting with parents?
They're not interacting with me. The babies who are read to are sitting up, looking at me, chirping away, talking, vocalizing, interacting. The babies who are watching TV are blobs.
And this is, there is no caveat for educational TV here.
There are no studies yet. That doesn't mean there won't be one tomorrow, but there are no studies yet that you make your baby smarter by exposing them to TV or iPads or even, you know, as great as it is, even Sesame Street.
Interesting. Or Baby Einstein, I'm guessing. So there goes that.
Right.
So is the idea, you know, if you can hold off as long as you can, is that the best thing you can do for your child? Or is it something that, you know, is really explicit to 2 year olds and under?
The best thing you can do is read to your baby and interact with them. Babies are remarkably smarter than we give them credit for, something that Barry Brazelton taught me a long time ago in Boston. A baby, it's hard to believe, but a baby can tell the difference between a real person on a TV screen and a real person in person. And they learn from the person who's in front of them, because that person can interact with them, they assess facial features, reactions, things like that. Obviously, the person on the TV screen doesn't react to them. So avoiding screen time for kids under the age of two. And then the easiest thing for parents, and this is where I think parents don't understand what we're suggesting, is not to let a media habit get started. Keep the technology out of the bedroom, all of it. Limit total screen time. Watch with your kids and discuss the content.
We'll talk more about the content in a few minutes. We're talking to Dr. Victor Strasburger. He's a pediatrician and co-author of a new report calling for limits to screen time and technology access for kids and teens.
And we want to hear from you. Are you a parent or a child dealing with these issues, figuring out how much screen time is too much? And if you're a teacher or a pediatrician dealing with these issues, we'd like to hear from you as well. How does your family handle screen time? Our number is 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, a look at a proposed employment discrimination law in the U.S. Senate.
Now we continue our conversation with Dr. Victor Strasburger about kids, teens, and technology. How much screen time is too much? You can join in at 800-642-1234. How does your family manage technology, TV, tablets, smartphones, and the like? 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll take our first caller now. We have Maria with us in Milwaukee. Hi, Maria.
Good evening. One of the comments that I really think is important is too often you see kids getting the tablets or the television or the computer games, and then they're taken away if they don't behave. And I think it should be used as a reward the other way, so that if homework is done, if you've done your chores, then you get an hour of time. And it does make an incredible difference. And I've seen it with my own grandchildren. Instead of when something goes wrong, having it taken away, as I've told my kids, use it as an incentive to get them to do the things they should be doing.
Okay, so use it as a reward, not a punishment. What do you think about that, Dr. Strasburger?
I think that's a great idea. We should have put that in the policy statement.
I wanted, before we get back to our callers at 800-642-1234, wanted to ask you about parents talking about the content with the kids. I think that's one of the guidelines. Why should parents do that?
This is really a parent family values issue. TV and movies are teaching your kids about all the things that you need to teach them about: sex, drugs, relationships with other people. Media are a very powerful teacher, and a lot of the content that you see on television, particularly, is not very good for them in terms of teaching those values. So if you object to that, you need to speak up, and it can replace the big talk. You're watching a sitcom on TV, something sexy comes in, you say, you know, what do you think about that? Why is she jumping into bed with him? Why aren't they talking about birth control? It eases the conversation very nicely, but you gotta talk to kids about it.
All right, we'll go back to our callers now. We have Jim with us in Colfax. Jim, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. See, my question would be, my wife sits with our two-year-old, 3-month-old, okay, so she sits with her in the evening for the last hour and a half before she goes good night to bed, and she rocks her to sleep, and they sit and they watch, like on the iPhone, they watch cartoons and doing other things on there, and during the day, Grandma does the book reading and things like that while she's being babysat. Is there a proper mix that could be done for the amount of screen time compared to the book time, as you were talking about earlier?
All right. Thanks for that question, Jim. And in particular, I guess something you look at is bedtime use of that kind of media, too. What do you think about that, Doctor?
Bedtime use is not a great idea just because most of the content is very exciting, often involves violence, certainly involves, you know, rapid cutting and fast music and things that are going to keep your child awake. Not a good time. That's the good time to read. Now, there are some exceptions. There used to be a wonderful set of videos called Rabbit Tail videos that would use Hollywood movie stars to read classic children's tales. So they do Kipling and things like that. And you could read along with your child while you're watching the video. They were very soporific. I mean, we used them with our kids. They put kids to sleep quite nicely. So there are some videos like that. And, you know, obviously there are books like that, like Good Night Moon. Read that a few times to your kids, and they'll be falling asleep before no time. And also the light of the TV screen is activating. Our brains respond to the light of the TV screen. So TV before bedtime is not a great idea. Reading before bedtime, much better idea.
I learned that lesson myself when I watched the Packer game right before bed tonight.
Yeah.
Speaking of too much excitement. We'll go back to the phones now. We have Rick in Grafton on the line. Hi, Rick.
Yes, I've got over 30 years experience in technology as network engineer and security engineering. Two comments. The first one is, I can tell you, as I got busy and couldn't read to my son as much when he was younger versus my daughter who's 5 years older, huge difference in their reading skills and struggle in school. My son is still struggling. The second thing, though, that's very important is, as I've helped family, friends, and others with their computer issues, I'm amazed at how many parents have no clue where their kids are going on the Internet. More than that, they'd never let their children talk to or interact with the seedy side of society. But yet, these kids are being exposed to the seedy side, and the parents don't have any idea how to set the firewalls or security settings, or some say it's private to their teenagers, which I totally disagree with, and I'd like the doctor's view on that.
Thanks a lot for the call, Rick. A whole bag of worms there.
Oh, I think he's absolutely dead on, and I've said this before. If you have a 14-year-old son, and he's got a computer in his room, he's seen pornography. And if that upsets you, get the technology out of the bedroom. You know, people think that their kids are safe in front of the TV screen, and they aren't necessarily, or in front of the computer screen. These are potent teachers of kids. They can take them. I mean, you know, when I was growing up, I don't know about you two, but when I was growing up, the sexiest thing around was a Playboy magazine. Think about how today's internet is different from a Playboy magazine, and that tells you how concerned you ought to be.
All right, let's go back to the phones now. We have Artis joining us in Delafield. Hi, Artis.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, we do have our computer in a public, in a common room. That's one thing. But as far as, like, entertainment/technology, on the weekdays, if the homework is done, you can have, a half an hour or one episode of your favorite TV show, but also reading on the technology, like on the Kindle, is basically the only unlimited thing that we have on the weekdays. And that's pretty simple, and that's kind of the way it was when I was growing up. We had the first video game systems, the Atari, the Intellivision, and it was the same way for me in my house. So it seems to work.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that call. What do you think about that?
I'm a big fan of unlimited reading. If you want to get all of your children their own Kindle and see what they download and let them read to their little heart's content, I'm a big fan of that. I also do think the caller said something about this. I think there ought to be a house rule in every house in the United States that media don't go on until homework is done.
That's an interesting one. I mean, how, maybe this is outside the purview of what we're talking about here, but if you're a household that is already letting the kids watch some TV when they get home or play some video games when they get home from school before homework, how do you dial that back once the pattern's set?
Yeah, that's the problem, is you don't start in the first place. That's what a lot of parents ask is, my teenager now has his own computer in his room, his own iPad, his own cell phone. What do I do now? And the answer is, you screwed up big time,
No. And
I don't know how to help you.
Oh, great. That's not what we wanted to hear. I mean, it's just kind of tough.
You have to make tough calls. I will say that even if that all is true, the first thing you need to do is get a big basket, an Easter basket, and put it in the kitchen where there are a lot of electric sockets. And every night at 10 o'clock, the cell phones go night-night in the basket.
Hmm. Hey, here's an email from Becky in Eau Claire. She writes, my 9-month-old loves FaceTime, or loves to FaceTime, I guess that's a program, on my iPad with relatives that live far away so they can chat online, especially grandma and grandpa. Is this screen time that should also be limited?
It's a good question, and I have no idea. Probably not. but we don't exactly know how babies react to people that they know on screen, except that the studies I mentioned, that real people in person are far better than people on the screen. So there's no research on this.
Do you have children?
I do, too.
So did you get into any trouble with them and have to backpedal, or do you feel
I did. I made a serious mistake with my son, who's now 23. He just turned 23. I had to think about it for a minute. He is absolutely a gentle giant. He is the sweetest kid. Everybody loves him. I kept him away from violent media until he was 12 or 13. The research says at least 8. So I spaced it out a little bit more. But I made a mistake with him. I let him keep his cell phone in his bedroom, and we used to hear him getting texts all through the night, and he had trouble sleeping, and we couldn't get it away from him. It was terrible.
Well, that's a little reassuring. If you can do that, maybe the rest of us can correct our mistakes down the road, too.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there. Dr. Strasburger, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure, my pleasure.
That's Dr. Victor Strasburger, pediatrician, co-author of the new American Academy of Pediatrics report, Managing Media, We Need a Plan. Couple last comments from our listeners. Marion Platteville was on the line. She said no phones at the dinner table, board games instead. That's close to my heart, of course, as a big board game nerd.
And Gustav in Madison says the amount of media that parents use is also part of the problem. Parents should throw their TV away if they don't want their kids to get in the habit of watching it.
And Ashley on Facebook says, I don't allow any television on school nights, only on Friday night and Saturday, occasionally on Sunday. Well, you can keep those comments coming in, the Central Time on WPR on our Facebook page.
Coming up, a look at a proposed law targeting employment discrimination. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.